The following audio is from Midtown Fellowship in Columbia, South Carolina. If you're interested in becoming a part of our extended family, visit midtowncolumbia.com/partner.
What's up, fam? How we doing today? Wow, that good. I like that. I'm excited to be with you guys as well. We're still moving through our series on the book of Proverbs. If you can go ahead and turn to Proverbs chapter 24, hopefully we were able to set some Bibles out pretty close to you. You can scroll on your phone as well if you want to. If you want to do that, I tell you what, this series and just being able to study Proverbs through the week has been a huge, huge blessing for me and just in my personal walk with the Lord. I hope and trust has been the same for you. If you haven't been with us, this the book of Proverbs is one of the books of the Bible known as wisdom literature. So the book of Proverbs was mostly written by a man named Solomon, who the Bible describes as the wisest man who ever lived. And the book of Proverbs, it's different from a lot of other books because oftentimes a book in the Bible will either be about a story that kind of unfolds throughout the book, or maybe it'll be about somebody who's writing a letter to someone else. So there's kind of this very strong thought process that flows throughout the whole book. And it kind of builds on each other. Proverbs isn't like that. So Proverbs is more like, Solomon, the wisest man on earth, it's almost like he's tweeting. It's like these short, like about 140 characters, like these little sayings, these little proverbs. So it's like we get to look into Solomon's Twitter account if he lived today. So we've been hitting on quite a few different topics in the book of Proverbs that Solomon is trying to teach us as he gives us wisdom. He's trying to teach us how to make good decisions. And not just that we would know what to do, but we would actually practice it and live it out. So we've talked about how do we navigate and control our anger. He's talked about what is it like for us to lovingly confront each other and challenge each other to pursue growth in the Lord. He's talked about how do we use our words in a way that gives life instead of a way that causes destruction and death. And the topic that we'll get into today kind of permeates through all of those topics that we've already hit and many other topics as well. The topic for today is what the Bible refers to as slothfulness. Sometimes it's translated laziness. This idea of slothfulness, if we are weak in this area, then we'll be weak in many different areas of our life because this is something that kind of creeps in to different aspects of our lives, different things that we do throughout the day, throughout our days, different decisions that we make. The word slothfulness comes from obviously the animal that is the sloth. So if you don't know much about it, the average speed of a sloth is about 10 feet per minute. So if it's going from A to B, it's probably taking about, what's that, about 5 to 10 minutes to get from where I'm at to the back of the room. So an animal that moves extremely slow, and the Bible uses this animal to describe us in some of our ways. National Geographic says a sloth will sleep up to 20 hours a day. Right, so it's just this animal that doesn't move much, doesn't do much, prefers to be relaxed, prefers to sleep, prefers to not have to do a lot of activity. If you look up the term slothful in a dictionary, you'll see lazy, you'll see inactive, and you'll see sluggish as well. And in the book of Proverbs, the slothful person, if you would, is often just described or referred to as a sluggard. And so in the scriptures that we get into today, you'll see that. And so when you see the term sluggard, you know it's talking about somebody who is slothful, someone who is lazy. And so here's what I want to do. I want to go into Proverbs, but I want to go and ask him this question. What does it actually mean to be slothful or be lazy? Right? Is it as simple as somebody who just doesn't like to do work? Right? Is it that simple? I believe there's something way deeper, something going on in the heart of anyone who we would describe as slothful or lazy. I don't think it's just as simple as some people work hard and some people don't. Right? I believe there's much more to it than that, and Solomon's going to give us some wisdom on that. Again, Proverbs 24, we're going to start it at verse 30. And here's what I want us to do is we're looking to answer this question of what is actually going on when someone is being lazy, what's going on underneath the surface. We're going to just make some observations from the scripture that we're looking at. And just to help you as we're reading and studying through the book of Proverbs together, one thing that's really helpful to do as you're going through the book of Proverbs is Proverbs is going to describe people that are wise and describe people that are foolish, right? So the wise man and the foolish man are kind of set in opposition to each other, or wisdom and folly is the word that describes foolishness in the Bible, are kind of set against each other. And so you want to read through Proverbs asking, okay, what is this wise person like? What do they do? How do they think? How do they act? And then also you want to be asking the question of someone who Proverbs would describe as foolish. How do they act? What are they like? What is their day look like? And so I'll just do that. And first thing I'll do is read Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34, and then I'll pray, and then we'll kind of work through it point by point and bit by bit. He'll start in verse 30. It says, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Let me pray for our time together. Lord, we thank you today for your word. Lord, we thank you for what you call us to. Lord, I pray for growth in any of us who struggle with this idea of slothfulness. God, I pray, give us eyes to see it anywhere it lurks in our lives, anywhere it lurks in our own hearts, Lord. And I pray you would give us strength through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would transform us, that you would grow us into maturity in you, and grow us in our godly wisdom today as we get into your word. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, so like I said, I'm gonna work my way back through it, starting with verse 30, and just making some observations that I'm noticing about this person who is this sluggard or the slothful person. Verse 30, I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. So we're just going to go ahead. This book is very blunt. Like, I didn't even realize how blunt this book was until we started this series on it. So he's saying anybody who is given to laziness, given to this slothfulness, he's saying is someone who lacks sense. So that's another way of saying someone who is foolish. If you live this way, no matter how smart you are, no matter how intelligent you are, Solomon's going to say, if you live in laziness, you lack sense, or you are foolish. Verse 31, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. So he's saying that there's a slugger who has a field or this vineyard. So they're growing crops. So think very agricultural society at this point. So the way that they survived, the way that they ate themselves, the way that they fed their families oftentimes was off of the land, right? So they would have these huge fields oftentimes, and they would grow, and what they would grow, that's what they would eat, or that maybe that's what they would sell. But either way, this is how they took care of their families, was they lived off of the land. So he's saying this slugger, this lazy person, he says, I looked at their field, their vineyard was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. So this person has this field that has the potential of being able to provide for them, being able to provide for their family, but they haven't worked it. They haven't taken care of it the way that they should. And even more than that, when it says the stone wall was broken down, what it's referring to is they would build these walls to protect others from coming in and stealing their crops and stealing their food. So they had these stone walls that were set up. So this person is so lazy that they have the field, they have the means of taking care of themselves, taking care of their family, and they have this wall that is blocking others from it, but the thorns are coming in and choking out the food that they should be growing and take care of themselves and their family. And what the thorns don't choke out, they're letting thieves come in and steal. So this person is absolutely rejecting their responsibility to care for themselves, to care for their family. This person is completely neglecting their responsibility. Continue verse 32. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. So Solomon's saying, I looked at that, I pondered, I was considering what was going on, and this is the conclusion he came up with. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And he's saying, if you continue to live this way, to live in slothfulness, there'll be things that you need, there'll be things that the ones that you care about need from you that won't be provided for them because of slothfulness, because of laziness. The example he uses here obviously is referring to food, but it actually applies to many different things. And obviously Solomon is not saying that laziness is the only reason that poverty exists, but it can cause us to be in lack and poverty and in want. The sluggard doesn't have the necessary self-control, if you would, to see what needs to be done and then actually do it. Right? I believe at some point all of us have been in that place where we're like, okay, this needs to be done. This is going to go much better if I behave this way, if I do this, if I take care of this responsibility. But then for whatever reason, we don't actually follow through with it. We don't actually do it. That is how the sluggard or the slothful one behaves. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25 says it like this: the craving of a sluggard will be the death of him because his hands refuse to work. The lazy person isn't willing to suffer the inconvenience or discomfort of doing what is necessary to handle their responsibilities. They aren't willing to suffer some level of inconvenience here in the now to prevent much greater suffering later. So they and those that they care for suffer. There are things that they could have that they don't have. There are things that their loved ones could have, but they don't have because of this laziness. We'll continue on chapter 26. We should have it up here on the screen, starting at verse 13. Continue to describe this person was lazy, this sluggard, if you would. It says, the sluggard says, there is a lion in the road. There is a lion in the streets. Right? So this person is coming up with an excuse not to work. So they come up with this outlandish reason, this highly unlikely scenario, this excuse, if you would, to not do what they need to do, to not get done what they need to get done. And so he says, there's a lion in the streets. I can't go outside. I might get killed. There's a lion. There might be a lion out there. You never know what's going to happen out there. If I go put myself out there, if I go apply myself, you never know what can happen to me. So this outlandish excuse, verse 14, he goes on to describe this person. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a sluggard on his bed. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish, and it wears him out to bring it back to his mouth. So he's reiterating the same point, talking about someone who just kind of turns over on their bed, not being active, not being productive. And he says, he's using exaggeration or hyperbole here. When he talks about burying your hand in the dish, he's saying that this person is so lazy that they will have food there, in a dish, in a bowl, will put their hand in it to eat, but would not pull it out to eat because of the work done to pull and put the food into their mouth. Now, obviously, that's an exaggeration, but the point he's making is that someone who is lazy can have it set right there for them, and all they have to do is act, and all they have to do is work and put effort into it, but they won't do it. And Solomon says the person that does that looks like somebody who has food in a bowl in front of them and puts their hand in it to eat, but doesn't put the food in his mouth. It's how Solomon describes. He's saying this is what's actually happening. This is what's going on with those of us who deal with laziness. So again, the question I'm asking myself is like, what would make someone be that way? Right? Like why do I find myself doing slothful things and being slothful at times, right? Like, why would I, knowing that it's good, that it's productive if I work in this area, but at times I see myself being lazy. So as a husband, as a father, as a friend in our church, as a life group leader, as a pastor, when I find myself with these responsibilities, but I don't operate or I don't handle my responsibilities the way that I should, what's actually going on in my heart that would cause that? Because it doesn't seem to make sense. The one who is slothful is apathetic about things that are actually important. It's like we lack the proper zeal, the proper passion, the proper motivation to do what needs to be done and take care of our responsibilities. I want to distinguish something real quick before we go any further. Being slothful is very different from resting. Okay, so this very different thing, because here's where I'm concerned. Because some of us are more so workaholics, and we never rest, right? And so you hear a sermon like this about slothfulness and laziness, then you feel like, well, I shouldn't get any rest, and I shouldn't take time to rest, and you end up harming yourself even more. Let me try to explain the difference to you between slothfulness and resting. The slothful person does not handle their responsibilities. Right, has responsibilities that are reasonable. They do not handle them. They do not take care of them. That's laziness. Someone who rests actually works hard, and then they take a break to give them more energy to work again. Does that make sense? So the slothful person sees rest as an end in and of itself, as a thing that is in and of itself so great that they just want to get as much of it in as they can. Whereas the person who actually rests in a way that is biblical sees rest as a means of recharging and refueling themselves so that they can get back to work and get back to working hard. So resting is a means to an end, actually. To try to explain that through the Bible, Exodus chapter 23, verse 12. So this is when God is telling his people about taking a day off and taking the Sabbath. Look at how he explains it. Exodus 23, 12. Six days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien may be refreshed. Right? The word refresh means to restore strength, restore energy to. He's saying you work for 6 days, you work extremely hard, and then you rest, you recover, you have your energy restored so that you can get back to working hard. And that's the dynamic that God has set up for his people as a way of even showing our covenant with him, the God who worked for 6 days in creation and then rested as well. And so for me, just understanding rest, and I think we got to understand this, my wife can tell when I'm well rested because I am more engaged with her and the boys. She says I actually clean more when I'm rested. I do more house cleaning and housework when I am rested because I'm refueled, I'm replenished, and I'm actually more able. I do work much more efficiently and much better when I am resting in an appropriate way. This differs from the person who is slothful, who is lazy. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, "Sluggards do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look and find nothing." Again, the person who is lazy, the person who is slothful, in the season when work needs to be done, in the time, in the moment, when it's not time to rest, when it's time to do work and get work done, they do not. They do not plow in season. And then in the time when it's time to reap the fruits and the benefits of their work, they're not able to do so. And biblical resting allows you to get more work done. Being lazy causes you, obviously, to get less work done. So I try to practice rest in a biblical way, in a consistent way that recharges me and refuels me. But if I'm honest, sometimes I'm just being lazy. Right, sometimes I am being slothful. It's like this stress and discomfort or maybe even the pain that might come from doing whatever task needs to be done. It's like it so overwhelms me. It's like the inconvenience of it seems to be higher or greater than the motivation that I have. And so this slothfulness controls us and causes us to reject the responsibilities that we should be embracing. It's like, yeah, I want to do that. It's just so stressful. I need to go look at a budget and compare and look at how we did this past month. That's so stressful. I don't want to do that. I don't want to put the time necessary into doing the things that I know that I need to do, and things would be much better if I did. But it's so stressful. And so as the picture that Solomon painted with the sluggers just like turning back and forth on the bed, it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't put my energy into that. That's so draining. It's lacking the zeal and passion for the completing of the task that will be beneficial and the task that is necessary. I think at the heart of it, laziness is a rejection of purpose. It's a rejection of, for me, my calling to be a loving father or husband. For me, it's my calling to as a pastor continue to work hard. If at any point I reject that purpose that God has given me, I am being lazy. I know for me, I have these bouts with slothfulness where there's seasons where I'm more lazy than others. And I think for most of us in the room, that's probably where we are. It's like there are times when we're lazy. We do a lot of work. There are some times that we get lazy and that kind of thing. I think that's where most of us are. For some of us, that's not where we are. For some of us, slothfulness is a lifestyle for you. right? Like you, like your primary goal in life is to relax and have everything be as comfortable for you as you can in the moment, right? That's your desire, that's your goal, that's where your heart's at, that's what you love. You just love comfort so much. For some of us, that it's more of a lifestyle. It's just I want a life that is free from discomfort. I want a life that's free from having to exert myself. I hate it when anybody tries to give me rules and tell me what to do with my time. Right? Like, how are you going to tell me what I need to do with my time? I don't want you putting any type of responsibility on me. Don't be telling me what I need to get done. I'm going to do me. Like, the person who is slothful has this disdain towards restriction, this kind of hatred for people giving them a structure to live in, or people even asking or requesting their time in a way that makes them uncomfortable. It's this rejection of responsibility, it's rejection of purpose, it's rejection of having a calling on your life even. It's a perverted, like, lust for freedom, right? It's like a false and corrupted understanding of freedom that makes me think I'm more free if people stop trying to get me to do things, or I'd be more free if I had less responsibilities, or if I didn't have responsibilities put on me. So this is the person who cannot hold down a job because they always try to cut corners, or maybe they're always late, or they just don't do what they're supposed to do, so they're not able to hold a job for that reason. This is the student who would just rather hang out with people, and thus they're failing classes. Right, just, I just rather do what's fun and what's comfortable for me. Studying is not fun or comfortable, so I don't want to do it. The person who plays video games all day instead of spending time with people and actually caring for other people. This is the parent that just doesn't, or any family member really, who just doesn't spend quality time with people in their family and really doesn't try to. This is when slothfulness has become a lifestyle. I said it's a rejection of purpose, a rejection of calling. Here's something that I think a lot of us have not noticed about the way the Bible starts in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. So God creates everything, says that it's good. It says that the earth is without form and that it's void. So the earth is here, but it needs some work to be done to it. So God starts working on the earth and makes it suitable for the prospering and the flourishing of people, right? Then he creates Adam and Eve, and he creates them in his own image, right? And then the first thing that you see him tell Adam to do is work the garden and keep the garden, right? So he creates it. God is at work. He's making the earth suitable for people to prosper, to thrive, to flourish. Then he calls Adam into that exact same work. He calls Eve to be Adam's helper in this work of cultivating a place where people can flourish, where people can thrive, where people can prosper. And joining God in working in such a way that it benefits humanity, that it benefits people, is part of what it means to be made in the image of God. Because God makes Adam and Eve in his image and then calls them to work. Right? Work is not something that came after they sinned and messed up. Right? They already had this responsibility, this mandate to do the work that God had called them to. And anybody who tries to live a life free from the restrictions that work puts on them, free from the rules that work puts on them, is rejecting the fact that they're made in the image of God. They're refusing to embrace and accept their true identity as a human being. They're dehumanizing themselves. For anybody who tries to live a life that is free from the rules that come with having a responsibility or having responsibilities placed on them. The sloth just rejects the fact that God made us to be like him and join him in his work. Wants no part of working hard to serve and benefit others. Wants to just radically pursue their own comfort in the moment, no matter what pain or suffering it causes for them or anyone else later. And because of this, because of that, slothfulness is actually anti-love. Slothfulness is actually anti-love. Laziness is anti-love. This being consumed with my own comfort in the moment and only caring about how I feel, and no matter how that might have effects on other people, is anti-love. This desire to not have restraint put on me, right? This desire to not allow other people to tell me what to do or influence what I do is anti-love, because love, hear me on this, love always causes restraint. Love always causes restriction. Love always has rules associated with it. Let me explain to you what I mean. Love is why I will never abandon my wife and kids no matter what they do, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how much it sucks. My love restrains me and keeps me there, right? Love always pulls you to something, and oftentimes pulls you to do things and act in such a way that it's difficult for you, right? That it's a sacrifice for you, but love will always restrain you. It will always place rules on you. Love is why I'm cautious with my words, with my kids, right? Even though I want to lose restraint, even though I want to just let whatever comes to my mind come straight out, love confines me, love restrains me, love places restrictions on me. Love always has rules. Love always causes us to sacrifice. Love causes us to do what is not comfortable for us to do. Love causes us to forgive. Love empties itself. Love causes our spotlight to leave our own comfort and look at the comfort and the peace of other people and the joy of other people. And thus love restrains us. But the sloth rejects that, right? The person who is lazy rejects that. And so if you're lazy, like, so the thing I talked about, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago when I talked about confronting other people, the slothful person who's so consumed in their own comfort won't challenge people the way they should, won't use their words to have a conversation with somebody that they might not like, because the slothful person is going to stay away from anything that's going to feel awkward. No matter how beneficial it'll be in the long run, right, it'll feel awkward, it'll be uncomfortable, and so the slothful person will say, you know what, I'll just stay back. I just won't get involved in the messiness. In the church, something that's very damaging, the slothful person will allow division to grow in the church, in the body of Christ, I should say, and they won't do anything to fight against it. They won't do anything to try to remove it, right? They'll see some division coming between them and another brother and sister in Christ, but those conversations, they're not comfortable and they're not easy, right? And they're so inconvenient. There's other things I would rather be doing with my time. And so they'll let a wedge come right between them and another brother and sister in Christ, and then they will justify it and say it's okay. And say, well, it'll be fine. I just won't deal with them. Slothfulness is what that is. For us as a church, if you're new, I know we have a lot of visitors in here. One thing we're really big on as a church is true biblical fellowship. The term fellowship means sharing lives with one another. We do what we call living in the light. Right, where we don't live in secret, right? We don't have those secret sins that we try to hold on to and that we have kind of become dear to us. Instead, we want to confess those things and as James 5:16 calls us to, but not the slothful person. The slothful person, even in times when, the times that we just set aside, that we've designated, we're going to grow closer to each other, we're going to do life together, we're going to share our life with each other, you'll find a slothful person doing this. On their phone, pursuing comfort, pursuing, not wanting to engage in what's inconvenient, even though it's beneficial, even though the Bible lays it out, this is Christian practice. This is what we are to do. You find a slothful person disengaging, just kind of staying away, looking for comfort in, I don't know, whatever, your timeline on Facebook. Instead of passionately pursuing relationship and fellowship and oneness and growing in oneness and unity with other believers, you'll see them quick to check out. The slothful person will also be unable to truly share life and do life with other believers. So it's not just that they'll check out on their phone, but there's also a lack of willingness to really share who they really are and really be transparent and be vulnerable. That's not comfortable. That's not easy. I'd rather keep that all to myself. You see the slothful person come up with a million reasons to not read their Bible and pray. a million reasons. There's a million other things that are more comfortable, that maybe are more easy, more relaxing to do. Instead of spending time coming to know the Lord more in prayer, in studying and meditating on the scriptures, the slothful Christian is in a bad place spiritually because they're not committed or diligent in spending time with the Lord, spending time with the Father in heaven. The slothful Christian, you'll see them going wherever they go. So whether that's work, whether that's school, whether it's around family, friends, or whatever, you'll see them being somewhere where there are a lot of people who don't know Christ, who don't know who he is, right? Who don't love him, who don't know the joy of coming to know him. And they won't be doing anything to try to push them towards Christ. They won't be doing anything to try to show them who Christ is. Right, they won't be engaging in conversation for that purpose. They won't be inviting them around different church things or things that the church does. They won't be doing any of that because why? They might be uncomfortable to them. It's not easy. And the slothful person prioritizes their comfort and their convenience in the moment over what would be beneficial and prosperous and allowing others to flourish over time in the long run. The slothful person, the lazy one, will not engage in that. Slothfulness, man, it prevents the church from being who we are supposed to be, who we are called to be. Just from being able to talk to some of you in this room before, some of you, there are scars and wounds that you carry this day because those who should have cared for you were slothful in their love. They're just lazy. They didn't want to be inconvenienced. They didn't make the sacrifices that they needed to make. Slothfulness, it rips apart at the fabric of who we are as people because it's a rejection. It's a rejection of the fact that we were made in God's image and made to be like him. I think for many people, we see slothfulness as a lack of passion. Right, like a lack of zeal, a lack of desire. Like, is this somebody who's just not passionate at all? Somebody who just doesn't care at all? Someone who's just lacking passion in general? And I disagree with that. I look at it differently. In my opinion, the slothful person is very passionate. I believe everyone's passionate. The slothful person is just very passionate about themselves. They're just very passionate about their own comfort. They're just very passionate about their own convenience. They're just very passionate about taking the easiest road for themselves. They what you're passionate about is what you will prioritize over all over things. And they're so passionate about their own comfort in the moment that they'll be willing to sacrifice joy for themselves in the future. They'll be willing to sacrifice other people for that. The slothful one is extremely passionate about their own comfort, passionate about avoiding restraint. Passionate about avoiding any type of restriction being placed on them. Passionate about it. You try to put some of that on them, they'll fight you. It's like, it's the most passion I've ever seen you. I want you to fight for stuff that matters. I've been trying to get you to fight for something. The slothful person fights those who try to push them to work hard. For those who try to push them to continue to do things over and over again that they're called to do and try to push them to own up to the responsibilities that they have. The slothful person is passionate and they will fight you. They're passionate about loving themselves. This person, they're going to need something that ignites a stronger passion in them, right? They have all this passion we have all this passion for ourselves. So what we're going to need is something that ignites a stronger passion that causes us to desire to give of ourselves for something else. We're going to go with Titus chapter 2. We're going to start at verse 11. Before I get there, I wanted to tell you a story. There was a gentleman who, I read this article a while ago. There's a gentleman who, he was actually rescued on the attack on the World Trade Center on 9/11, September 11th. And he, somebody came in, rescued him, and pulled him out. Right, and then his rescuer went back in and never made it back out. Right, and so he's processing this, and they're interviewing him, and he's answering questions about it. And the thing that stuck out to me the most was he said, after having seen that, after having seen someone prioritize my life so much, they were willing to not only risk their life to save me, but lose their life going in to save others. He said, I am now prepared to sacrifice my life for others because of that. He's saying, after seeing that, something in me has now changed, and now I am actually able, I am actually willing and prepared that if it came down to it, I would sacrifice my life to something. What he experienced, what he saw, and what happened to him so impacted him that it caused a shift in his willingness to sacrifice for others. He had received such a sacrifice of love that he said, I'm now willing to do the same for others. If we are to rid ourselves of this slothfulness, this prison that's described as masqueraded as freedom, if we're to free ourselves from this prison of slothfulness, we need to see and know and remember and experience for someone else to sacrifice their life for us, that we will be willing to sacrifice our comforts for others. Titus chapter 2, starting at verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness, right? This is including slothfulness, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, even our passions for our own comfort, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. He's saying it is the grace of God that we find in Jesus and what he did for us on the cross that actually trains us to renounce ungodliness, actually trains us, that actually strengthens us to be able to renounce ungodly passions or worldly passions, it says, and to live self-controlled lives. Like I said earlier, self-control is the one thing the slothful person does not have. They do not have self-control. The person who has self-control is able to, okay, I know that this is best to do, and I will go do it. The person who lacks self-control does not do what they know they are supposed to do. What Paul is saying in Titus chapter 2 is it's actually an understanding of God's grace when Jesus Christ came and died and gave his life for us. Right, where Jesus Christ, where he didn't let his comfort in the moment stray him away from the responsibility that he was taking onto himself, which was the sins of his people. It is the grace of God that actually trains us to renounce this ungodliness. Verse 14, this is talking about Christ. It says, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Paul's saying it's actually an understanding of the grace that we have received from God that actually ignites in us a zeal to do good works. Exactly what the slothful person is lacking. A zeal to do what is right. A zeal to see the good work that's in front of me that I'm considering doing it and having enough passion that it is stronger than my passion and desire for my own comfort. He's saying only through faith in Christ are we going to grow in that. That he is able to birth in us a passion that is strong enough to lead us to accomplish and handle the responsibilities that are before us. If I'm going to grow in this tendency to not allow the stress and the discomfort, right, and the inconvenience to prevent me from doing what I need to do, I need to see and remember the Savior who didn't let the stress, the discomfort, and inconvenience of the cross keep him from doing what he was called to do and do what we needed for him to do, what I needed for him to do. If I'm lacking motivation to finish the course and do what God has called me to, I look to the one who found the strength and the motivation to suffer the most loss, the greatest loss that we've ever seen or known of. He's the one that I look to. When I don't want to be burdened and restrained by the responsibilities of love, I need to remember Christ who allowed love to restrain him to the cross, where he was hung up by nails, where he suffocated as he was bleeding, bearing the weight and the condemnation for our sin. He being God, he could have experienced the truest essence of freedom, but was willing to lay that down and be restrained to the cross for our salvation. I said earlier that slothfulness is this overconsumption with our own comfort. And that we're so consumed with that we reject any notion of what it truly means to love others. We need to remember Jesus displaying the most glorious rejection of slothfulness ever, as he was willing to completely deny himself of all comforts that we might in the future know of his love, his joy, his mercy, and his grace for all eternity. He embraces responsibility, not just for himself and not just for his friends, but for his enemies. Embracing responsibility for his enemies. He took even his enemies' sins onto himself, made himself responsible for it, paid the penalty for it. This is what I need a vision of. This is what I need to be remembering. This type of faithfulness, this type of steadfastness, right? This type of trustworthiness, if you would, is what anybody who's dealing with laziness, anybody who deals with slothfulness, this is what you need to see. This is what you need to remember. This dedication and diligence that he had to stick out the course that God has set for him is what we need to see. And when we see that, once we've seen that, once we've remembered that, in the day-to-day basis, we need to work. Play with your kids, do the dishes, finish the job at work, do whatever it is that you're called to do. Go be reconciled with your brother or sister in Christ. Pray for your family, your friends. Go challenge your brother and sister that you need to have that conversation with. Invite your coworker to your life group event or rhythm or hangout night that you're doing. Change the kid's diaper. If you're a parent, teach your kids the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Study for your exam. Read your Bible. Work hard. And then rest well so you can do it all again. After seeing and savoring our Lord, our Savior Christ, who was willing to die for us. Let me pray for us. Lord, you have been good to us. You really have. You didn't give up. You didn't value your own comfort over ours. God, you didn't prioritize most highly how you would feel or what was convenient for you, but instead you came, you laid down your life, you gave us the example to follow of what it truly looks like to love. And you allowed your love to restrain you to the cross. When you could have gotten down, you could have called a legion of angels to free you from the pain and the discomfort, but you didn't do it because of your love for us. God, would you inspire us with that? Would you compel our hearts with that, God? Would you strengthen us with the dedication, with the diligence that we need to be those that work hard at what you have called us to and the lot that you have given us? Would you help us to reject this idea that we need to be free from restrictions or free from people telling us what we should do or what we shouldn't do? Would you help us to embrace responsibility? God, help us to not see responsibility as the enemy, but actually see it as something that you desire for us to have as you have made us in your image. Help us to trust in Christ and remember what he has done for us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.